It happened in the early morning hours of March 26th. After experiencing two power failures while in port the day before, the container ship Dolly headed out. Its destination, Sri Lanka, a half a mile from the Francis Scott Key Bridge, also known as the Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, an electrical breaker popped once again, an ominous warning sign. The crew was able to briefly restore power, but then a second breaker tripped. The emergency generators kicked in, as they were designed to do, but they don't power the ship's propeller, so the ship was essentially drifting. Minutes later, the ship hit the bridge. Named after Francis Scott Key, the author of the U.S. national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, Key had witnessed the Battle of Baltimore in 1814 from a ship in that harbor. Constructed in the 1970s, the ship stretches approximately 1.6 miles across the Patapsco River. The container ship collided with one of the bridge support pillars, causing a portion of the structure to collapse. The older bridge lacked some of the modern protective features called dolphins, or sacrificial structures, that can help absorb the impact of collisions from large vessels. On board the ship were almost 4,700 semi-sized containers, 56 containing hazardous materials, 14 of which were damaged in the impact. Thankfully, the Mayday alarm had sounded on the bridge, so it was almost empty, with the exception of six construction workers who lost their lives in the crash. The dollar cost of the incident is hard to estimate, but the figure has reached as high as, or even exceeded, $1 billion. This is an extreme example of the cost of drifting. Most of us will have a hard time relating to this disaster, an almost 1,000-foot ship crashing into a bridge. But many of us have been on a much smaller boat. I want you to imagine this morning a lazy summer afternoon. The lake is calm, peaceful, a sheet of glass on an almost perfect summer day. You're just drifting along, enjoying the sun. Before you realize it, you're being carried further and further from the shore. Maybe at first it's barely noticeable. You don't feel in danger. But slowly, imperceptibly, you drift away. This is the word picture from our epistle lessons from Hebrews chapter 2. The writer sounds a warning. We are in spiritual danger. We are spiritually drifting, slowly moving away from God's word and the salvation he has given to us through Jesus Christ. In verse 1, the author of Hebrews urges us to pay much a closer attention to what we have heard. Why? Because if we don't, we are going to drift. This isn't about running away or openly rebelling. It is about the slow, gradual, almost imperceptible process of spiritual drifting. This is the drifting that happens when we neglect the things of a God. We stop listening to his word. We forget about our daily devotions. We skip Sunday school and Bible study to go have breakfast. We miss a Sunday worship service here and there. And before we know it, we've lost the habits that keep us anchored in our faith. And I get it. Life is busy. Work, school, relationships, responsibilities demand our time and our attention. And none of these things are bad in and of themselves. But if we let them crowd out our time with God, they can cause us to drift into enemy waters. And perhaps even more subtly are when things are going well. Without a crisis to bring us crawling back to our Lord, we float around on our own. We think we don't need God as much. We rely on our own power and feel less dependent on Him. And the thing about drifting is this: it often goes unnoticed. You don't realize it till you've moved far from where you should be. The same is true in our spiritual lives. It's easy to say, I'll get back to God later. I'm just a little off track right now. But how far will we drift before we realize it's too late? Recently in the news, there was a report of another huge shipwreck. This time it was a spiritual one. At an interfaith conference on September 13th in Singapore, Pope Francis made this statement, and I quote from his transcript provided by the Vatican. One of the things that has impressed me most about the young people here is your capacity for interfaith dialogue. This is very important because if you start arguing, my religion is more important than yours, or mine is the true one, yours is not true, where does this lead? Somebody answer. A young person from the crowd answers, destruction. The Pope continues, that is correct. All religions are paths to God. I will use an analogy. They are like different languages that express the divine. But God is for everyone, and therefore we are all God's children. But my God is more important than yours. Is this true? There's only one God, and religions are like languages, paths to reach God. Some Sikh, some Muslim, some Hindu, some Christian. Understood? Yet interfaith dialogue among young people take courage. The age of youth is the age of courage. But you can misuse this courage to do things that will not help you. Instead, you should have courage to move forward and to dialogue. End quote. I don't have to tell you what a shipwreck, a spiritual shipwreck, this is. The Bible is very clear. There is only one path to God, and that is His Son, Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. Now, I didn't bring this up to pick on the Catholic Church, nor to imply that the LCMS Church is perfect. I brought this up because this is just one of the many alarming examples of the drifting that is going on in the Christian church today. The Roman Catholic boat is drifting into enemy waters. Christianity is the biggest religious group in the world with 2.4 billion members, with Islam coming second at 1.9 billion and Hinduism following at 1.2 billion followers. Of the 2.4 billion followers of Christ, 1.3 billion of them are Catholic. To have a spiritual leader of 1.3 billion Christians say something so blatantly against Scripture is horrifying. Can we even estimate the destruction that will be caused by this? Our text from Hebrews for today emphasizes the consequences of drifting, and they are deadly serious. If we ignore the message of salvation, we will not escape judgment. The May Day siren is sounding. The warning is loud and clear, just as those who disobeyed the message delivered by the angels face consequences. So will we also, if we neglect the salvation found only in Jesus Christ. So what is the solution to this spiritual drifting? The answer is found in the very first verse of Hebrews chapter 2. Pay much a closer attention to what we have heard. We need to cling to the Word of God. God's Word is our anchor. Just as a boat needs an anchor to stay in place, we need Scripture to keep us grounded. When we neglect Scripture, we risk drifting into dangerous waters. But if we stay rooted in Scripture, God keeps us firmly on the right course. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. The more we immerse ourselves in God's Word, hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, as the prayer says, the less likely we are to drift. The passage calls this a great salvation. It's not great because of anything within us. It's great because of who accomplished it, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's great because of the cost, His very life given on the cross. And it's great because of its result, eternal life, forgiveness, peace with God. And when we remember how great our salvation is, we are motivated to cling to it. How can we drift from something so precious? How can we neglect a Savior who gave everything for us? So who can we call on to help us stop our drifting? We can and should call on the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 reminds us that God confirmed this salvation by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. We can't hold fast to the faith that we have by our own strength or power. The Holy Spirit empowers us to believe, to trust, to remain firm in our faith. So we must constantly seek and pray to the Holy Spirit for His guidance, asking Him to lead us, renew us, strengthen us daily. This keeps us from drifting because we are continually connected to God's power and to His presence. This text from Hebrews is a wake-up call for all of us. If we're honest, each of us is prone to drift. The world around us is full of distractions, and our sinful nature constantly pulls us away from God. The writer of Hebrews calls us to stop our drifting, to recommit ourselves to His Word and to His grace. And this will call for a close inspection of your life. Are there areas where you have been drifting? Are you neglecting your time in God's Word or your life of prayer? Have you let the busyness of life pull you away from your Christ? Today, God is calling us to pay closer attention, to turn back, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We need to cling to Jesus. Jesus is our anchor in the storm. He is the one who has power over the wind and the waves, the storms of this life. He holds fast to us. He never lets us go. He has promised that nothing can separate us from His love. Paul tells us in Romans 8, 38 through 39, that I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Trust in him who is the captain of your salvation. Recommit yourselves to hearing and living out his word. Let his word and his grace sustain you. In the waters of this life, it's very easy for us to drift. But God in his mercy has given us a great salvation. He has sent his son to die for us. And he has given us his spirit to keep us anchored in the faith. Don't neglect this great gift. Pay attention. Hold fast. Stay close to Jesus. And may God grant us the grace to stay anchored in his word, avoiding the drift, holding fast to the great salvation we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.